Well, we have been in this series on Sunday mornings about the end of the world as we know it. And as we have been in this sermon series, there's been a lot that we've been looking at. We've done a lot to kind of set up how we should talk about the end times and the end of the world and Christ's return and all of those important things before we dive deep into all of the details. And as I've been preparing for this sermon series and all of the things in the book of Daniel, especially the last half that we have been looking at, it is impossible for me to cover everything that Daniel talks about the end times events in this Sunday morning sermon series. So I wanted to make this video. There may be a couple of more coming throughout this series, but I wanted to at least make this video talking about the rest of Daniel chapter 9 and the details surrounding the end time events. I think it's really important for us to try to understand. And if you've been following along on our Sunday morning services, you know that I have been mentioning multiple times about how the purpose of the book of Daniel is not to give us these specific detailed understanding and timeline and all of this stuff about how the end of the world is going to play out. Really, his purpose is to call us to repentance to God, to share Jesus with other people and say, hey, the end of the world is coming and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. We understand that. But there are some things that Daniel talks about in his visions that the Lord gives him that are predictive of the future, that are future understandings and dreams and interpretations about the end time events. And if you watched this service last week, the one about turning to the Lord, if you haven't, you can watch on the church app or wherever you're watching this video right now. It should be there. But we talked about how Daniel chapter 9 is one of the most famous biblical chapters regarding biblical prophecy and end time prophecy in the Bible. And the main reason for that is these last few verses, verses 24 through 27. And so we're going to read these real quick. We're actually going to start in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, so we can get the idea and the context that we were talking about in our Sunday morning service before we jump into the details about chapter 24 through 27. Or verses 24 through 27. So starting in verse 20, it says this. It says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. And we're going to get into this word and vision that Gabriel is bringing to Daniel concerning the end of the world as we know it. He says this, he says, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And after the 62 weeks an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Now, as we read those last few verses there in chapter 9 of Daniel, if you have done any type of studying at all about end times prophecy, maybe you've read the book of Revelation or you've read these chapters in Daniel, you've heard some sermon series about the end times, some of these phrases may be very familiar to you, right? Talking about 7 years and then half of that time and this desolation and abomination and all of these things, they may sound familiar to you, but they may be a little bit vague. Like, you know they have something to do with the end times, but you're not sure exactly what. Well, we're going to jump into that because it's interesting that these last few verses in Daniel chapter 9, the message that Gabriel is giving to him, remember, Daniel was crying out, repenting to God, and God says, hey, I hear your prayers, and I am going to do something about it. And these last few verses, God basically lays out in a very open way, in a broad way, the details concerning the end of the world. And there's three specific kind of time areas that God is talking about here. The first one we see is this, that before the end of the world comes, Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt. That's what Gabriel starts off telling Daniel. Look at verse 24 again. It says, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression and to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal both vision and prophet and to anoint a most holy place. What is that most holy place? It is the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, Daniel is in exile in Babylon. That Jerusalem has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. And God is telling Daniel, hey, the temple will be rebuilt. Jerusalem will be restored. Sin will be erased. And the holy city will be finished in 70 weeks. Now, we have to understand, these 70 weeks are not 70 literal weeks, like 7-day periods that we think of in our modern calendar and time. In fact, when you look at the literal translation, it's 77s is what he's meaning. And that's 70 sets of 7 years. In 70 sets of 7 years, the temple will be restored, it will be rebuilt, and Jerusalem will be returned. Basically, that's 490 years. So God revealed to Daniel that this would occur between the time of the decree to build Jerusalem and the coming of the Messiah. And what we actually see is that in 457 BC, the city is restored. And about 81 years before that, in 538 BC, King Cyrus gives the decree for the temple to be rebuilt. And so we see in this 490-year time, by the time that Daniel has this prophecy to the coming of the Messiah, the promised Messiah, we see that the temple is rebuilt and the city of Jerusalem is rebuilt. And that's why the books of Nehemiah and Ezra are so important, because they were written by those prophets at this time. Nehemiah helped to rebuild the city and the temple. Ezra, the time of Ezra, the priest, was the city was rebuilt. And so we see very clearly that God says, hey, Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt in this 490-year period. And then what we see is that there's 69 weeks from the time that the temple is rebuilt to the time of Christ's coming, the Messiah's coming. And so what we see is that hundreds of years before Jesus arrives on the scene, God is telling Daniel that a Messiah will come. A Savior will come before the end of the world. He will save Israel. He will redeem those people. He will not only save Israel and redeem them, but he will redeem the entire world within 69 weeks. Again, 69 times 7 years. That's about 483 years. And what's interesting is if you take the date that the city of Jerusalem was rebuilt, 457 BC is pretty close to the year that we believe it was built. And you fast forward in time 483 years, this is what we see. We get to the time of 27 AD. And around the time of 27 AD, give or take a few years, depending on how you date things and all this stuff, that is the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth. Think about that for a moment. God spoke to Daniel hundreds of years before, gave him specific dates, and it all lines up in the timeline of Christ. This is beautiful. He says in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one, of a Messiah, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks, and then for 62 weeks, so 7 plus 62 is 69 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time." So from the time of the anointed one, Christ starting his ministry in 27 AD, and the time that the Jerusalem was rebuilt was 69 weeks, 483 years. And what's also interesting here is that God tells Daniel that it will be in a troubled time. Why is this important? You see, from the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, to the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, we have what we call this intertestamental period, this time in between the Old Testament and the New Testament that there were no prophets. God did not speak to the people. We call it the silent years. And it was a little over 400 years. So we see that this time between the building of Jerusalem and Christ's return, it was a troubled time for Israel. Because God was not speaking to them. He was not giving prophets. He was not giving prophetic visions and dreams and all of these things. Because God gave all of that to Daniel and said, "You will know when the end is near, when the Messiah, the Savior of the world, comes." And in 27 AD, Jesus arrives on the scene. He begins his public ministry for 3.5 years, and he dies and is resurrected as our Savior, our Messiah, the Prince, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So we see that Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt. God tells that to Daniel. But we also see that a Messiah, a Savior, will come. God tells that to Daniel. Those two things have already happened in history, in the grand scheme of time. These two out of three events that God told Daniel would happen before the end of the world will come have happened. That leaves just one thing left. God goes on through Gabriel, and he tells this, that after the Messiah comes, the last days will begin. The last days will begin. We see this in verse 26. It says, "And after the 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing." The anointed one, the Messiah, will be cut off. Here, God is telling Daniel about the death of the Messiah. That the Savior's not going to come and establish an earthly kingdom at that time like Israel thought he was going to do. No, he will be cut off. He will be killed. He will be destroyed. But what we know is Jesus rises again from the dead. But even Jesus says, hey, now is not the time, that the last days have to come, because the prophet Joel predicted, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." And so Jesus leaves so the last days could come. He leaves and ascends into heaven so this last part before the end of the world will come. We are truly living in the last days. So what does God tell Daniel about the last days? What can we know and understand about this time period that we are living in? We know this. He says in verse 26, "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." He's talking about the Antichrist there. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. Here, God is telling Daniel that you will know that the last days are coming to an end when this prince who is to come, this Antichrist, right, person who thinks that they are the prince, but they're not. They're against everything that Christ stands for. It's why they're Antichrist, will come and destroy Jerusalem, the city, will destroy the temple. There will be war, there will be desolations. He will make a covenant with God's people for 1 week. Again, that means years. So for 7 years, jump to Revelation. And what we see is that the tribulation period is 7 years. And we know that the tribulation period will start when this Antichrist, this ruler, will make an agreement with Israel. But then halfway into it, 3.5 years into it, he will break that commitment. We see that in Revelation. We see it again here. And for half of the week, 3.5 years, he will put an end to the sacrifice and the offering. And the wing of abominations will come, the one who makes desolate. You see, the Antichrist will come to power. He will declare himself God. Not only that, he will do signs and wonders and act like he is God. You see, that's so important for us to understand. You see, Satan can perform miracles and wonders, right? The Antichrist will have this wicked and this evil supernatural ability to do these false miracles and things in order to get people to turn to him. One of the things that I like about this Bible that I'm reading out of, it's the Fire Bible. It's a study Bible, and it talks a lot about these things. It's got some things to help us understand. And I really like what it said about the Antichrist in this article. So I want to read part of this to you. So we understand when the Antichrist comes, we know that we're in the end of the last days. We're in the last days now, but we know that we'll be in the end whenever the Antichrist comes. And this is what it says. It says, as the day of the Lord begins, the man of lawlessness, or the Antichrist, is revealed. And he will be a world ruler who will make a covenant, a formal agreement or a treaty with Israel, 7 years before the end of the world, when Christ will literally return to earth and destroy the wickedness and reign on earth. And his true identity will be confirmed 3.5 years later as he breaks his covenant with Israel, becomes the world ruler, declares himself to be God. He defiles the temple in Jerusalem and forbids the worshiping of the Lord, and brings devastation to the land and the region. You see, this desolation that Daniel is hearing about from Gabriel, that Gabriel is telling Daniel, is this idea of him declaring himself to be God and defiling the temple, basically using the temple of God as his temple for worship. That's what will happen when the Antichrist comes. And Jesus himself refers to this. He says, you will know that you are in the last of the last days when the desolation, the abomination of desolation occurs. He's referencing back to Daniel chapter 9. And he says, when the Antichrist takes power and takes over the temple, you will know that the end has come. We see this. We see that the man of lawlessness will be empowered by Satan to perform great signs and wonders and miracles in order to deceive people and make his lies believable. For false signs and wonders refer to actual supernatural occurrences that deceive people into accepting a lie. And it is possible that these supernatural happenings will be seen around the world through various forms of media. Millions of people will be impressed, deceived, and persuaded by this charismatic leader, because they don't have true deep commitment and love for the truth of God's word. We see that Paul and Jesus himself caution believers against assuming that all miracles are from God. Every expression of the supernatural gifts need to be tested by the standards given in God's word to be sure that it is the gift and work of the Holy Spirit. That's why we test people with the fruit of the Spirit. right? That the gifts of the Spirit, they're in operation, yes, still today, but the Holy Spirit gives us checks and balances, right? Things are done decently and in order, right? If people's heart, if their fruit isn't right, then their gifts probably aren't from God. And the Antichrist will work in this exact same way. Another interesting thing that we see about the end of the world as we know it in these last few verses of Daniel is that, you know, Jerusalem and the temple will be rebuilt. That happened. We see that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, will come in Jesus Christ. That happened. And we are now living in the last days, and we are waiting for these final days of the Antichrist to rise up and to assume power before Christ returns. So you may be thinking, well, Pastor Brandon, what do we do? Do we just sit around and wait for the Antichrist to come? Is that our job? Well, no, because the whole other part of Daniel chapter 9 was Daniel repenting and confessing his sin and repenting on behalf of Israel and saying, no, God, let us turn to you before this happens. We are to do the same thing. But we also see in Scripture about the last days of history that there's days of preparation. And that's the time that we are in. Within the last days, we are in the last days of preparation. Before the rapture happens, the tribulation happens, the Antichrist rises to power, we are in the days of preparation. And we see multiple references throughout Scripture. Book of Matthew and Luke and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Peter and Daniel and Romans and Acts and all of these other books of the Bible, apostles and prophets, they talk about the days of preparation. And here's what we'll see, not in any particular order, but this is what we will see. We will see an increase of false prophets and religious compromise within the church. I don't know about you, but we are living in the days of preparation. We are seeing religious compromise within the church. You look at biblical issues like homosexuality and issues like abortion and other things like that. We are compromising within the church the things that God has established within the world. We will see an increase of crime and disregard of God's law. We are seeing morality thrown out the window in our day and age. We will see an increase of wars and famines and earthquakes. It doesn't take a scientist to know that those are things that are happening. Here's another interesting thing that we see in Scripture. We will see a decrease in love and family affection. Don't believe me? Matthew 10:21, Matthew 24:12, Mark 13:12, 2 Timothy 3:1-3, they all mention this idea of a decrease in love and family affection. I believe that one of the greatest ways that Satan is going to try to take over and to prepare the way for the Antichrist is by breaking down the family unit, right? By marriages falling apart, by children not obeying their parents, by parents treating their kids more as friends than as the people who are called to raise them in a godly home and to show them the ways of the Lord. A decrease in love and family affection is one of the greatest ways that Satan is using to bring about the last days and the Antichrist. We will see more severe persecution of God's people. We will see those who stand firm will be saved. All of these things that we say are going on, right? That this compromise within the church, a disregard of God's law, wars and famines, the decrease in love and family affection, severe persecution, all of those negative things. What we also see is that in those last days, the days of preparation that we are in, people who stand firm and will be saved. We don't have to worry about if God's church is going to last, because the church is the bride of Christ. And there will be those like you and I who we stand firm and say, no, we will not bow to the enemy. We will not compromise what we believe. We will not disregard the law of God. We will not give in to these things, but we will stand firm in our faith, in our obedience to the Lord. In the last days, there will be a great affirmation of the Lord. The gospel will be preached to the whole world, that all nations, all people will hear the name of Jesus. That's why we give to missions, because we believe that the whole world will hear and know the gospel, and the Spirit of God will be poured out on all of God's people. There will be a day that comes when we won't have these denominational issues about, man, is spirit baptism real or is it in the latter days and all of this stuff, because we will see that God will pour out his spirit on all people. That if you are standing firm in God, you can't help but have the Spirit of God welled up inside of you, preaching the word, proclaiming the gospel, because that is what God is calling his church to do in these last days of preparation. We are in the days of preparation within the last days. The rapture has not yet happened. The tribulation has not yet happened. The Antichrist has not yet risen to power, but those days will come. We see Daniel prophesy about them. And two out of the three things that Gabriel the angel told Daniel have already come true. So we know that this will come true as well. So what do we do in these days of preparation? We continue to preach the gospel. We continue to repent and confess and stand firm in our salvation and our faith in Christ. And we seek the Holy Spirit as much as we can. We say, God, we need your Spirit dwelling and living inside of us. Lord, give us the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Let our lives portray the fruit of love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God, pour out your Spirit on me in this moment. Give me spiritual and supernatural gifts, words of knowledge, prophetic understanding, tongues and the interpretation, so we know when you're speaking to your people. All of these things, healing, divine healing, generosity, all of these gifts of the Spirit, we seek God like we never have before. You see, all of these events and these details in the final last days that we've talked about, they're important to know, but they all point us back to getting closer to Jesus. Again, I know there was a lot about the details and things within this video and this teaching, but I felt it important to bring this teaching to you, just not on a Sunday morning. So I hope that you've been blessed by this teaching. I'm sure we will do this a couple more times in this series, as there's just so much in the book of Daniel that we can't fit into our Sunday morning service times and all of those things. So thank you for joining. Thank you for watching. I pray you are blessed in this series and the teaching of God's word.